that sort of society, you know, it's not a great deal to, that could be done after either part.
Okay.
Because we all left about the same time. So I think, mine, what the hell, he wanted to, I guess they had him doing busy work, cutting paper dolls or something in the RD office in Saigon. When I got to Saigon in TDY in 67, I got in touch with my, it's been a day to get.
Okay.
It all got very messy, and there were lots of problems, and lots of gnashing of teeth, and so he was out shooting rabbits doing that. And they brought, what's his name down from him?
Is that Fouac? Or is Bay? Bay comes down. Bay, okay. And he is from Quang Nai, right? Or no, he's
no.
Binh Dinh. Yeah, okay. What was your opinion of Bay in comparison to Mai?
Oh, Bay was one of those guys that I think had been romanticized a lot by a lot of Americans around that.
Okay.
They made much of his proletarian background, but he was really a peasant, as Chow used to say.
Okay.
But I thought he really had enlarged that a good bit too. I think he's a smart guy.
Okay, and he's the one who increases the size to 59 people, that.
No, we did that in 65.
Okay.
65.
Okay.
Well, we decided it was just to change the emphasis, that the small teams were really, war was just getting worse. And the small teams were just too goddamn small to do anything about it. And we said, the 59 concept, let's standardize it.
Okay, and that's because you want to deliver services, and you need the extra people to deliver the services, whereas the small teams were just displacing the VC.
They could quietly slide into a village, and then if things got a little bit hot, they could take it on the land. But now the 59 guys, you had some guys that had more muscle, more clout, and some in many respects a hell of a lot more firepower than anybody else in the neighborhood would have.
Okay, so there was the decision to change from the small units to the 59 is really a question of being able to deliver services. Just to wave the flag, so to speak, show the flag, you know, the GVN is here, whereas the small teams weren't as apparent.
Well, what we were trying to say, yes, here is a GVN presence,
mm-hmm.
but it's a GVN presence that really is comprised of your own people that are by God, have gone off and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they've been trained, and they've seen the light, and they're here to defend it. Not necessarily in the same village, because a lot of them were obviously rotating, they were moving around. But certainly they spoke the local dialect, they were local boys, and they were able to set up some early warning systems for the village to kind of focus people on their own defense, to try to enlist people into doing something positive. People were really frozen by fear. The government no longer could protect them, and this is a basic, a basic element of any government. If it cannot protect you, it ain't no government.
Okay.
That has to be part of the equation between the government and the governors. And as long as they were no longer and had not been able to deliver, by default, we had de facto anarchy.
Okay. Can you tell me who your replacement was? Was that Bob Eschbach? Is Bob Eschbach?
No, Bob went down. He ran Vong Tau. Nobody really replaced me. I had a kind of a funny job because we built the whole goddamn thing up. And so basically, what they decided to do was sort of split the thing up, what I've been doing.
Okay.
Because I had a funny position because I was doing the selling of the program, I was doing handling the VIPs, I was working on it.
Okay.
On the content. It was just kind of an odd situation that I happened to be there when the thing began to take form.
Okay. But there's always this, that's your job is apart from actually running Vogue. That's
that was just one of the other things.
Okay.
Like I have, you know, I have guys in I don't know how many provinces there are. That ran the program for me. I had maybe two officers or at least an officer in every province in the country.
Okay. When does Eschbach get to Vung Tau to start running it? Is that early on?
No. That was after I left. That probably I suppose sometime, probably maybe the fall of 66.
Okay.
I just don't, I've forgotten now.
Okay, then getting back to Riddell, does Riddell show up to run the Prue part of Vung Tau while you're there? I'm just trying to get that names and dates myself, okay?
I know. I don't think Bill ever worked for me, so he would,
okay.
I've known Bill a long time. I'm just trying to remember. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he probably must have gotten there after I left.
Okay.
Let's see, who was still running Vung Tau when I left?
Is Tucker Googleman running the Prue part of Vung Tau?
He would have been there. He was there in 67 because I remember it.
Okay.
Seeing Tucker down at Vung Tau.
See, the problem with Tucker Googleman, Bob Eschbach, Ralph Johnson is they're all gone. It's finding out where they were and when they were there is hard. The same with Mai and Bay, because Bay's gone. He's died. I don't know where Mai is. So a lot of these people, I'm just relying on others to try and pinpoint where they are. When you were in setting up Vung Tau, who was doing the Prue there? Who was responsible for Prue training?
I bought a couple of guys out from headquarters to EY.
Okay. Can you tell me one person that I can talk to?
Now they're both still gainfully employed. And,
okay.
They were very good. They were experts, and I brought them on TDY, and I kept talking them into extending them.
Okay.
And so they finally ended up. I think both of them took a full tour.
Okay.
So. I don't know if they forgive me or not. So.
Well, all right, this is... okay.
Well, I hope, just to go back to the PRU, what their purpose was. Their purpose was not to go in and assassinate people, because you don't collect intelligence from dead people.
Okay, but Prue is supposed to be intelligence for province chief.
You bet.
Okay. All right.
And the thing that's difficult, I think, for most people, you kind of look upon Vietnam as over a sand table at Fort Benning. You're talking about province chiefs with entirely different abilities, predispositions, and attitudes.
Yeah.
And you had to treat each one of them as an enemy because they were pretty well cut off. It was not a smoothly functioning government running that. Two and Key, of course, were not the tidiest. While a guy like Zien had been a great, had a great many button counters around with him, these guys were increasingly cut off. And that, I found, was one of the things that we were in a position, by God, to go out informally, without any loss of face. He could sit down and talk about these political problems with us. And we weren't in the chain of command. We weren't going to, you know, do anything about his fitness report. But if he could begin to improve the situation, an ordinary bright guy would begin to look after a while. See, it all keeps going to hell, and nothing seems to be working. Mm-hmm. Let's try this. Here's this. American comes out and says, "Okay, what have you got to lose? If you don't like it, 30 days, we're out."
Well, then I guess that would be my last question. What's your assessment of how successful RD was?
At its best, it was very good.
Okay.
Again, we had the same problems. If you had a province chief who looked upon this as a potential source of revenue, and you found his interests were really in that direction, you found our officer there would have to be on his toes all the time trying to. It was not a happy situation. Where they caught on, where a guy was able to do, they did very, very well. So a place like there were other factors going on at the same time. So to take this in isolation is difficult.
What about Vung Tau as a training center? Your assessment of Vung Tau as a training center. Okay. All right. But then the program begins to fall apart in the provinces, depending on the, or not fall apart, but be maintained depending on the personality of the province chief.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very much so.
Okay.
What we had, if we had a strong officer and a receptive province chief, you could do an awful lot, very far.
In terms of winning support for the government.
Right.
Okay.
If the guy wanted to use it as a private army, then you had troubles. This is really the case. And one of the difficulties, and people like William C. Westmoreland never could really understand this.
Yeah.
And it was really a difficult situation. We had some terrible problems with MACV people who just could not see that if a guy had a gun, why he wasn't in the regular army. It was awfully difficult to say. This is a nasty neighborhood. He's got to carry a gun to stay alive and accomplish what he's trying to do. And he's also able to institute some firepower that maybe give the village a chance to take a little breather and get some sleep for a change. And, this is a very subtle form of political propaganda, but if it looks a little more comfortable in the neighborhood, great.
Okay.
No, and this...
What provinces was it... Can you give me a province where it was successful in and a province where it failed because of a province chief? Do you remember back, was Binh Dinh a good province or a bad province?
Binh Dinh was a good province. It was a big program. We had I had an Australian who was the number two up there who was an absolute splendid Vietnamese speaker. He'd been trained, he was SAS trained. He was very, very exceptional as a captain.
Not Teague.
No. Okay. That's good. But we had a big program there. We had, three officers there. And we had... there was a turnover while I was there, and the next officer was also very, very good. So that was a good, big program. It's a big province, an important province. Quang Nai was a good program, but Quang Nai was just bad country.
Okay.
Just trying to remember about Quang Tri. Quang Tri.
Yes.
The troubles that you used to have, this was always a difficult problem in a place like Vietnam. was to try to keep the local political parties from using it. You see, you get a BNQDD element,
mm-hmm.
and normally nobody was thinking in terms of political parties. And you had to be goddamn careful that they weren't pushing the long-range interests of the party.
In other words, their people would get into the Rev-Dev program, would do the Vong Tao training, would get back up to Quang Tri, and then when they would go into the villages, would start preaching the VNQDD one.
Precisely. So these are the things you really had to guard against.
Okay. So it's as unsophisticated as the local Vietnamese peasant might have seen. Sometimes they weren't quite so unsophisticated and were actually... There's other things that would be going on.
Yes,
okay.
So, you know, you're dealing with a complicated folk. Okay. Same is true if you get into Hua Hao country down on the Cambodian border, the Delta, Jesus, you know.
Okay.
Strange folk, the Hua Hao. Same business would be out in, with the... God help us.
All right, from region to region to region, most success in Four Core? Best success in Four Core? You know, was it, could you divide it up regionally?
Yeah, you know, you really could. We would have some good luck in Tu Cor. We had some Long An, was a good province. Three Cor. Lots of good provinces in Three Cor. And Four Cor did very well. There's no question about it. Four Cor would, Four Cor had a lot going for it.
Okay.
And of course, as I said, you know, other things were evolving as the conditions brightened. You could get a deeper bite out of these people. Land reform, roads beginning to open up again.
Did RD continue as an active program beyond 73 when the United States funding was stopped? Do you know?
I can't answer that question simply for this reason, that I left Washington in 71.
Okay. Did you continue in political programs in around the world? Was that sort of your specialty?
I went to a place called Manila.
Okay. To do basically the same thing? Same kind of program?
No! Good grief. No, Jesus.
Okay, sorry. Because I know in 72, that's when Marcos isn't in 72. So 67 is when he becomes president. 72 is when he
declared
martial law. Okay.
No, I was back during my life.
Okay. You were, by any chance, chief of station there, were you?
I was there a long time. I was there 5 years ago.
Okay. I won't ask you.
I was just so glad to get away from things Vietnamese.
Yeah, what about your feelings about Vietnam? Any regrets, bad dreams,
No, I think the U.S. government had ample opportunity along the line to get the hell out.
Okay.
It seemed to me that after the Xin business, I think we could have gotten out. I think when they started the revolving door governments with people like Big Moon and that whole crowd, I think that would have been a good time to say, gents, see it.
Okay.
I know how shocked I was when I saw the first suggestion that the U.S. troops were going to be committed.
Big mistake?
Oh. Okay. Although, I think I can also say that had they not been introduced that summer, I think that the whole bloody thing would have gone down there. I think Arvin was so badly demoralized by 64, 65 that I doubt that they would have made it in the summer. I would go along with that. Because the pattern had been so well established that Arvin would be standing around on one foot and on the other night after night. Viet Cong would be off someplace in a safe haven. living it up, and then finally two or three nights a week they'd have to go out to work, and they'd come down like a wolf on the fold, knock off World Arvin, and go on back in sanctuary, completely impervious.
This raises a question in my mind. While you were there, did you have a sense of futility? While you were actually creating the program, knowing that you felt that?
I don't think you feel that way at all. I think you feel, God damn it, this is,
this is my job, so this is what I'm going to do.
Boy, let's.
Yeah, okay.
And on everybody's back to see that we moved as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Jesus, we went from I suppose in September, we were training. We had a training facility for 100 people, and by the 15th of January, that was up to 3,500.
Okay.
And we, in a very short time, that means building roads, building buildings, doing all of them. And we pretty soon got it up to. I suppose by the time I left, I had 20,000 people in the program.
Okay.
I guess we had several hundred, I guess, when I got there. Now, so everybody really had to work like hell to do that sort of a thing, to get officers, to get them trained, to get people established.
Now, people in RD were not, they did not have military rank, right? These are strictly civilian employees of the GVN.
Some of them have been in the military, some of them never been in the military.
Okay, very good. Last thing, is there a province officer that you could refer me to that I could talk to about RD operations in a province? So, and the provinces, I'm kind of dividing up the country into Quang Tri, Binh Dinh, Binh Hoa, and Vinh Long, a province from each of the cores, which is one of the ways I'm going to try and attack my book. Would you happen to remember an RD officer from one of those provinces
Sure.
you would talk to me?
One of the problems that you could have that
some of these people are still employed.
Most are still.
Would you consider, if I was to give you my address, asking somebody if they would talk to me?
Sure, I wouldn't know.
Okay. If unless you know somebody right off, you could tell me about. But I'd really like to talk to a guy who was an office, province officer doing RD. And that would be the last request that I would make upon you. My last presumption of the day.
I'd be happy to check around. Obviously, as I say, I'd say most of these gents are still gainfully employed.
Okay.
Maybe
possible, but. Well, I understand. I certainly don't expect the impossible. Well,